The retirement and IRA show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.
This is the Retirement and IRA Show coming to you from beautiful Northern Colorado. Join us this morning as certified financial planner Jim Saulnier, as well as Colorado State University finance instructor and certified financial planner Chris Stein, teach you about IRAs, 401ks, annuities, Social Security, pension plans, and estate planning in a fun and enjoyable show. Whether you are listening live in Colorado or streaming from their website or iTunes podcast, Jim and Chris want you to know that they're available to help you plan for your retirement. Just visit their website at jimhelps.com. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. And click the Meet the Team button on the homepage. Now, here's Jim and Chris with today's show.
On today's show, we are going to talk a little bit about Roth conversion season. We're right in the middle right now. I guess at the beginning, but it's time to talk about it once again this year. Well, I've also got quite a few listener emails that we're going to go over with some Social Security questions on WEP and GPO, which are popular topics for clarification, if you will. And we also have at least one question on TSPs. Thrift savings plans, which not all people participate in, but for those of you who have those, you're probably aware of what they are. We'll talk about those and if it's possible to convert proceeds from the TSP to an IRA or Roth IRA for that matter. So welcome to today's show. My name's Chris. I'm here with Jim.
Good morning. Good afternoon for us.
Or good evening or good day.
If you're on iTunes and listening whenever you want.
Right, because we don't know when people listen then.
No. But we are live recorded today, so this is Tuesday afternoon. It's 1:30 on Tuesday afternoon, November 1st. How was your Thanksgiving yesterday? Don't tell me. Mm-hmm. Halloween. I was close.
I got turkey day
on my mind.
Mm-hmm. Monday is a very terrible day for Halloween, so it was pretty low-key.
Why is it terrible?
Well, it's a school day and school the next day, so the kids kind of are quiet and got other stuff to do, and so not as exciting as a weekend Halloween for sure.
And do you have any candy left over?
We have a lot because we had almost no visitors to our home.
Really?
But I think it's because the past few years when Halloween has been on a weekend, we've been out away.
So now they know
don't come to the end of the cul-de-sac because I'm at the end of the cul-de-sac. Don't bother coming and going down there because they're never there.
He's cheap. He doesn't give anything.
So we had, I believe, one group of visitors, one group of three. So we have a large bowl. And I want to complain a little bit.
Oh, God.
The Walgreens.
Walgreens?
Yeah. My wife bought one of those big mix candies, and it had to, I don't know what the date is because she threw away the bag, but it had to be old because all the chocolate, like the Milk Duds and Whoppers that were in there had a cherry taste to them because they were mixed in there with Twizzlers and other things. So obviously there was cross contamination in this bag, and Milk Duds with a cherry aftertaste, that's disgusting. So I'm very disappointed in Walgreens. You'd think, especially during Halloween, they would have fresh candy because there would be so much, but my guess is it was Halloween candy from the previous year.
In defense of Walgreens.
Yes.
Perhaps it was the candy maker who made it so early in anticipation, you know, the mad rush, so they're making a lot of candy. They made it so early, and it didn't ship out to Walgreens until later. So it may not
possible,
be their fault.
But
just want to put that out there.
But the Whoppers were, yeah.
But have you noticed, did you look in the freezer? There is no Halloween candy in there yet.
Well, it's because it's only the first day of discount season.
Yeah, but I usually go the very first day of discount season. Well, all the good stuff will be gone by the end of today.
Okay, so where is it?
We are recording. And I'm not sure if I'll have time, but eventually I'll make it to one of the stores and see what type of candy is left over. For those who don't know, I usually buy the office, and that being predominantly Chris. Candy left over from, because we're in that leftover holiday candy season, because we'll go from Halloween, then I can get a little bit at Thanksgiving. They get some of those chocolate little turkey things left over that nobody wants, so they sell at 75% off. And then the same thing with Christmas, and then we'll segue right into to Valentine's Day and pop right into Easter. So for the next 4 or 5 months, you have a good supply. It gets a little light by summer.
Yeah, October, the early October was pretty lean because the Easter candy had finally started to run out.
Exactly. So when he comes in, Chris only works a few days a week. When he comes in, he usually says hi to me if my door is open on his way to the kitchen where he throws away a cup of soda and takes out copious amounts of candy.
I wouldn't say copious amounts. A daily allotment.
Which is a lot.
I need my energy in the afternoon.
I'm sure. Okay, so we have a good show today. We've got some email questions, and we're going to go over Roth conversions because it is that time of the year. And hopefully we'll get everything covered. Do we have an update on what's new in helping my Social Security as well?
We do.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. So we have an update. So a full show, I guess, is what we're trying to get at, folks. I want to thank everybody here in Northern Colorado for listening to us. We will be live. We should probably, because we do have Thanksgiving. Goodness, in wow, it's going by
right
fast.
Yeah. Mike, well, it's only the 1st of November.
Yeah, but November, December fly by. Have you noticed that? Those are the two fastest months of the
that
year.
That just means you're old now.
No, they just fly by. So, obviously, this is Saturday the 5th when everybody is listening to it, but it's actually Tuesday the 1st as we're recording this. So, it leaves us two more weeks to go live, because we're not going to go live on the 26th. That I can tell you. So, we'll
have a turkey hangover still that day.
We'll either be live on the 12th or the 19th. So, why don't we try to do it the 12th and maybe, oh, you know what? I just realized.
Uh-oh. You're out of town.
No, hunting. I think I forgot to tell Tina who won the pie last month to mail the coupon to. Hmm. I think I did.
Maybe after the show you could handle that.
We shouldn't do it on the show. Okay.
No.
But what I wanted to say is we'll try to do it the 12th or the 19th. If I can do it on the 12th, whoever wins the pie will probably be able to pick it up for Thanksgiving. But the 19th, I would say no. That would probably be cutting it close. So it'll have to become a Christmas pie at that point. But iTunians, you guys don't care because you don't have a chance to win the pie. This is just for our local listeners in Northern Colorado. We've had two good live shows the last 2 months. We've got lots of callers. So I'm hoping we can continue that when we finally do decide to go live. Okay. So before we jump into the emails, and we did get about 4 or 5 emails this week, I do want to get into a few IRA topics, the big one being Roth conversions. And for those who don't know, last Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I was actually in San Diego for my Ed Slot training. I belong to his IRA advisor group. I've been in that group for goodness... probably a good 7 years now, 6, 7 years, somewhere around there. But I've been in his IRA advisor group for quite some time, and we go twice a year, and we study IRAs for 3 or 4 days and other types of retirement planning topics. He's kind of expanded out a little, Chris, from just IRAs. We did some estate planning. We did a little bit on life insurance and a little bit on the Department of Labor fiduciary rule that was recently passed. So we kind of expand out, but the gist, the meat and potato of it is predominantly IRAs and retirement plans and the rules associated with them. There haven't been too many new rules, but there have been a few little changes and tweaks. And over the coming weeks, we will get into to some of those. But what we want to do today, and I asked Christy to get a new theme song.
I did.
You did? Okay. Mm-hmm. Because longtime listeners, Chris and I have been doing this radio show for about as long as I've been in Ed's slot. I think even longer.
Probably.
I think it's even been longer. I don't remember. But Chris and I have been doing this show probably now, I think, have we agreed? It's like 8 years?
8 or 9.
Yeah. We should. I think if we look at the scheduling software, I can probably go back and see where the first radio show.
It was in August. I know that.
It was August. I do remember that was mm-hmm. scheduled. And I think it was 8 or 9 years
August
ago.
August of 08. Might have been 09. One of those.
Okay.
Might have been 09. I bet it was 09.
We'll figure it out. But a very long time we've been doing this radio show. And every time around this year, Chris and I have termed this Roth conversion season. So we're going to get into, we haven't talked about conversions per se like we should. So we're going to get in, we're going to drill down for the rest of this segment, a little bit of the minutiae of Roth conversions and why exactly we call this Roth conversion season.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
With the kids jingling. See, that's a good theme song for Roth conversion season.
Yeah, and we can just have it play in the background the whole time we're talking.
It's the most. Who is this? Don't tell me. The guy who sings Blue Moon as well, doesn't he sing a Green River or something like that? Moon River.
I think he does. Mm-hmm. But what's his name?
Oh, isn't he Andy something?
Yes.
I am there?
Yeah, got the first name.
Andy Williams.
Exactly. Very
wow,
nice.
Pulled wow. that out of nowhere.
He did pull it out. I was skeptical.
and I think he mm-hmm. does sing Moon River.
I think he does too.
Okay.
He sings a lot of stuff. He's very...
Is he still with us?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Well, we decided, excuse me, folks, we decided to make Roth conversion season the most wonderful time of the year because as people who really enjoy Roth IRAs and the planning strategies that come with them, we try to get people to understand that this is the time of year to start strongly considering Roth conversions.
Andy Williams passed in 2012 in Branson, Missouri.
Oh, okay. So he's no longer with us.
Not too long ago. And he did sing Moon River.
Okay, I thought so. Mm-hmm. All right. So why do we call this... why do I cough every time I do this show?
Every time you get that Starbucks thing and it loosens up...
Oh, you're blaming my Starbucks cup of coffee on my coughing?
Yes, because you weren't coughing until you started drinking that thing.
Okay. And for those who don't know, I have a Starbucks. It's usually delivered to me at every show. Yeah. I want to, again, publicly call out Starbucks for having some of the ugliest Christmas cups.
They're not Christmas cups, remember?
That's right. They don't say the word. It's a holiday cup. God forbid Starbucks says the word Christmas. But their holiday cup, I would say this is butt ugly.
This is worse than last year.
It is. I mean, last year, at least it was red and looked semi-Christmas. This, folks, Chris has it perfect. It's like a dirty cup that somebody tried to wipe clean in a circle, and looking out, there's a bunch of zombies staring in.
Yeah. That's what it looks like.
Exactly. It's what I thought. I thought this was the Walking Dead cup. I didn't know what it was. And the whole cup is people. Stick drawings of pencil drawings of people, the big crowd of people. And if you watch The Walking Dead, it looks like a bunch of the zombies are standing there. And the whole cup is in green that you can barely see through. And then they just have this area that's cleaned, a circle that's cleaned clear. And you see all these faces staring in at you. I don't know how that has anything to do with the holidays. I'm sorry, Starbucks.
I'm at a loss. I don't know.
I don't know. So they definitely have an ugly Christmas cup, or as they call it, holiday cup.
Seasonal beverage container.
I don't know. But this time of year around the holidays is when we say you should stop paying attention to Roth conversions. So let's back up a little here and explain what a conversion is. We don't want to assume everybody knows. Longtime listeners will know, but a new person may be saying, what the heck is a Roth conversion?
Well, a new person's probably long gone because we're halfway into this first segment and all we've talked about is forgetting to give someone a pie,
whatever.
Starbucks cups.
Okay. All right, so let's get into the meat and potatoes here. So there are two ways to get money in a Roth IRA. You can contribute it, or you can convert it. You can also transfer it from another company. So I guess there's three ways to get money into a Roth IRA. We're talking about conversions. A contribution is fairly straightforward. That's when, assuming you qualify to make a Roth contribution, you physically take money and send it to an IRA custodian and authorize them to put it in a Roth IRA account. That's fairly straightforward. A transfer, which I said was the third way you can get money into a Roth IRA, that's fairly straightforward. That's when you get a hold of, let me back up there. A transfer is not really a way to get money in a Roth. It's a way to keep existing money in a Roth and just change. Everything else is a conversion.
Roth 401k monies to a Roth IRA
is a conversion. No, Roth 401k is a transfer. That's what I said. It's not a way to get new money in.
It's not a way to get new after-tax money in, but it is a way to get money in to the Roth IRA.
So we're going to scratch that part, folks. We're not going to count transfer.
You want to count that?
I will not count that. Okay. Because if you go from a Roth, to a regular 401k to a Roth IRA, that is a conversion.
That is a conversion, yep.
If you go from an IRA to a Roth IRA, that is a conversion. If you go from a Roth to a Roth, that's a transfer. It's not really getting more money into a Roth IRA. It's just transferring it around. But it's not getting new money in. So perhaps I should say there are only two ways to get new money into a Roth IRA, a contribution or a conversion. A conversion is where you take a retirement account that's not a Roth, move money from that account to a Roth. The government calls that a conversion because you're kind of converting the type of account. You're going from a non-Roth retirement account to a Roth retirement account. So they call that a conversion. You are converting the tax aspect of that account. Remember, a Roth IRA, if you do everything correctly and take a qualified distribution in retirement, a Roth IRA is 100% tax-free on the distributions, including the earnings. You know, we're asked that every now and then, Chris. Some people still think, are the earnings tax-free as well? Yes, the earnings are tax-free. That's the whole idea of a Roth, that the earnings can be 100% tax-free if you take out what is called a qualified distribution. So, excuse me. So to get money in, you have a contribution or a conversion. We're going to concentrate on conversions today. Everyone should know you are allowed to contribute to an IRA up to when, Chris?
Up until April 15th, well, technically tax day of the year after the year that you want to have the contribution count.
Exactly.
So that typically is April 15th, but if April 15th falls on a holiday, then tax day is technically a different day. So that's why the technical term is tax day,
right,
for that tax year.
And the government did that for a reason. IRA rules are complicated. Taxes are complicated. Most people don't know, or a lot of people don't know, how much they're going to truly earn until the end of the year. They don't know if they're going to get any type of late bonuses. They don't know if they're going to get any type of new income coming in. They don't even know what the distributions on the dividends might be on some of their taxable investments. And that might not happen till the last week or two of December. So they really don't know what their exact income level is going to be until the year is over. Well, the rules say if you earn more than a certain amount, you cannot contribute to a Roth IRA. So the government says, look, we're going to make this easy. You can actually wait to the end of the year. The following year in January, February, March, and April, while you're doing your taxes, which is nothing more than trying to figure out what you owe for the previous year, we will let you contribute to a Roth IRA up to April 15th or whatever the tax filing deadline for that year is. Sometimes it's the 15th, sometimes it's the 17th. As a contribution, because they know it is difficult for you to figure out if you're eligible to contribute until you do your taxes. So from a contribution standpoint, the government is making this real easy, Chris. But for a conversion standpoint, do they allow you to convert up until April 15th of the year following?
They do not. For some reason, they made that deadline December 31st of the year you want the conversion to count, which is unfortunate, in my opinion, and a little baffling because a conversion has tax ramifications. So if you take the logic of people really need to kind of figure out their tax situation in January, February, March in anticipation of filing in April, you'd think they'd give us that time in order to decide if we wanted to do a conversion, which would have an effect on our taxes, but they do not. You have to pull the trigger on the conversion before or by December 31st of the year in which you want the conversion to count.
And this is one of the great mysteries. There's many, but this is, in my opinion, one of the great mysteries of the tax code. Why do they make us convert by December 31st? Because most people, again, like you said, Chris, we don't know what our tax liability is going to be. We don't know what our income is going to be. We don't know what our net tax liability is going to be. So many people don't know, Chris, how much they could actually afford to convert. Because when you convert, you have to pay taxes on the money that you move from the traditional IRA or the traditional 401k to the Roth IRA. You have to pay taxes on that. So a lot of people don't know, geez, can I afford to pay taxes on $500 or can I afford to pay taxes on $5,000 or $50,000? People don't know. And they say, gosh, I got to decide by December 31st. Well, yes, that's how it works. And that's why we call this time of year the Roth conversion season. But when we come back from our first break, Chris and I are going to share with you why, honestly, that concern really shouldn't be a concern.
No, but the solution to this problem that we're going to divulge when we come back from the break involves a lot more paperwork than we really need to have. If they would simply make the date coincide with the contribution deadline, that would solve a lot of these jumping through hoops actions that we have to do in order to accomplish effectively the same thing.
Exactly.
So I'm still going to lobby for them to change the date for conversions to
till April 15th.
April 15th, like contributions. Up until then, we can simulate the effects of that through some other techniques that we're going to talk about here. But it is unfortunate that we've got it. It is what it is. That is the current rule, and those are the rules we have to play by right now until we can convince some of our friends back in Washington, D.C. to actually do something positively that would help people out. And this is one that it's not a big enough issue to stand alone with some legislation, but hopefully it'll get stuck in with some other tweaks that they're doing to adjust maybe tax rules or Social Security issues or something related to retirement. It'd be a great time for them to somebody to stick that thing in there as an amendment.
It would just make sense because they freely admit they allow you to contribute up until April 15th because it would be difficult for you to determine otherwise if you are eligible. Why not make that same simplistic argument on conversions as well?
Right. So when we come back from this break, we're going to hear one of the top songs from 1935 as we look back to the year that Social Security was started. This hit was one of those songs written in 1934 that didn't take off until 1935 with a new singer. And for some reason back then, this happened a lot, where somebody would actually release it, and it wasn't very popular, and then a year or two later, someone else records it, and it's a huge, giant hit. So this is one of those cases. We'll find out who that is after this short break here on the Retirement and IRA Show. This break is pretty short, so we'll be back with you momentarily.
Are you interested in your own customized Social Security analysis? If so, visit us at helpwithmysocialsecurity.com and click the Contact Jim and Chris button. Jim and Chris offer a $75 Social Security optimization analysis that includes a one-hour consultation to discuss the specifics of your Social Security situation. This very affordable offer is for both singles and couples and will provide you with the information you need to make an informed decision about claiming your Social Security benefit.
You're in love. Your heart's a-fluttering all day long. You only started because your poor tongue just will not out of the way.
Welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. It's one of the top songs from 1935, back when Social Security was born. Originally, the song was written for the British film Roadhouse in 1934. But it wasn't until 1935, when Billie Holiday re-recorded it, that it struck a chord with audiences. And became a jazz standard, covered many times throughout the years. This was What a Little Moonlight Can Do, sung by Billie Holiday. Very distinctive voice. A lot of people recognize that, other than Jim. But did you know that one?
Negative. Bless you.
Excuse me. Wow.
Sneezing on a live recorded show.
Rude, I know.
That is. Should press the sneeze button.
I'll have to install one of those.
We need a cough button for me. That would be helpful, too.
So we are in the middle of reviewing the Roth conversions during what we call Roth conversion season, which we're in the middle of right now as we approach the end of the year. And as we mentioned before that break, we want everyone to know that your Roth conversion for 2016 has to be done by December 31st. And by done, maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later. But the key is the money has to have left the current location where it is on its way to being converted by December 31st. Doesn't have to be finished by then. But
no, we'll get into that. So as we were saying, we call this time of year Roth conversion season because, as we explained in the first segment, on a conversion, you are not allowed to get the conversion done up through April 15th of the following year. You have to convert in 2016 if you want the amount to count on your 2016 taxes. Because remember, when you convert an existing account, an IRA or a 401k, into a Roth IRA, you have to pay taxes on the money going in. And later in retirement, you do not have to pay taxes when it comes out if you do it in a manner that they call a qualified distribution. And it's quite easy to qualify. Your Roth has to be 5 years old. You have to be over the age of 59 and a half. You have to be dead, which is not good for you. But in other words, your beneficiaries would not have to pay a 10% penalty and can get money out tax-free. You have to be disabled. Or you have to be buying a first-time home.
You don't have to do all those things.
No, one or the other. Most people strive for the age 59 and a half.
Right. So the Roth has to be 5 years old, period.
Period.
And then one of the following has to also be true, 59 and a half, which is the most common one, dead, disabled, or buying a first-time home.
Correct. Okay. So how come How should I put this? Yeah, how come Chris and I said in the last segment, listeners, it doesn't really matter. It's not as difficult as it sounds. Because a lot of people will say to us, Chris, I don't know how much I should convert, so I didn't convert. I don't know if I want to pay taxes on $1,000 or $5,000 or $10,000, or I'm worried that I would convert and my investment would drop in value, and now I owe taxes on something that was once worth, say, $10,000, but now is only worth $8,000 because it lost 20% of its value. And those reasons, their fear that the market may drop while they converted, or their fear that the taxes they're going to owe Chris are so steep, people won't convert. Because they say it's too difficult for me to determine all this out. And I fully agree with them. I say it is difficult. I don't know if the market's going to drop. I don't know what your tax situation is going to be. But what I do know, I'll say to them, is I also don't care how much you convert. Convert your entire account. I don't care. And most people look at it as strange, except for people who know what we're talking about. Because the government, folks, will allow you to undo, and that's only four letters, U-N-D-O. They'll allow you to undo a conversion. Now, the technical name has 18 letters. It's called the recharacterization. That's a whole mouthful. But we just say undo. The IRS lets you undo a Roth conversion. And when you undo or recharacterize a Roth conversion, the IRS pretends the conversion never happened. It's as if, tax-wise, the money never left your traditional retirement account. It never left your traditional IRA.
Even though it technically could have left long ago, could have left... 22 months ago.
Months ago.
Because, it could. So that's the effect that they consider it having not taken place at all. But there can be a very long time from the conversion to the recharacterization.
Exactly. Because they give you till October 1st of the year following. October 15th of the year following the conversion. To undo it or recharacterize. So if you converted January, let's say you converted January 2nd, 2016, you have until October 15th, 2017 to undo it.
Undo part or all.
Exactly. It can be a partial undo or a full undo. So they give you ample opportunity, folks, to determine your taxes, to determine how much you really want to spend in taxes, to determine what's your optimal amount to convert. They give you plenty of time to do it, but it's after the fact. You have to convert first, then figure it all out, and then undo it. And to come up with an analogy of this, I came up with a baking analogy. You actually like this analogy. It's one of the few.
This one's pretty good.
It's one of the few you actually like. If someone is baking something, it's the fall. I usually will bake a banana bread or an orange cranberry bread at some point in the fall. So once a year, I'll treat myself to a fresh baked, I call it bread, makes me feel good, but we all know it's a cake, but it's just a cake in a bread pan. But I usually will make that. And if I need to measure a cup of flour or a cup of flour, I mean a cup of sugar.
Or a cup of flour.
Or if I had another cup of flour. If I have to measure a cup of flour or a cup of sugar...
Sugar.
Yes, I know you like sugar. If I had to measure that, here's how I do it. I take my measuring scoop. It's not really a scoop. I've got a. It's not really a cup, rather. It's a scoop. It's got a handle and a big spoon type thing on it, and it measures one whole cup. And I stick that into my flour or my bag of sugar. Mm-hmm. And purposefully, Chris, purposefully overfill that scoop. So I'll scoop it right out, and now my cup of flour, my cup of sugar is runneth over.
Too much for the recipe.
Too much. But that was done on purpose. And then I take a butter knife, and I take that butter knife, and I scrape it across the top of that cup. And what is left?
Exactly one cup.
The exact amount I need and want. Mm-hmm. But I do it, I get there by purposefully putting too much in. Mm-hmm. So I can scrape it all off, figure it all out, get the exact amount, and then dump that into the bowl. That same analogy, folks, is how you should approach Roth conversions. Nobody knows if they are going to get a massive, well, I guess some people know if they're not going to get a massive bonus. But nobody knows if they're going to get a bonus. Nobody knows if they're going to get a large dividend or interest distribution from their investments at the last minute of the year. And it's very difficult to determine what your taxes are and how much you really should convert. We don't care. What we do is we recommend to people, if you know, Chris, if you know, I can pretty much in a best case scenario, someone might say to us, Chris, the best case is I could probably afford to pay taxes on a $10,000 conversion. And that's my best case. We would probably tell them what?
Just convert 10, which is the most you'd ever want to. And then if it turns out that you prefer to convert less than that after you do your taxes that are due in April, that's when you pull out the knife and you scrape off the top of any of that excess that you want. So if you determined, oh, 10, I'm not comfortable with 10, or tax situation requires or indicates it would be better for me to do less than 10, that's where you're going to scrape that knife across and get exactly what you want to convert for your taxes that year. But
exactly.
You can't do it unless you overfill the scoop by December 31st. That's the key. It's a timing issue.
It is. But I would go one step further. If somebody said to me, yeah, I'm pretty sure, Jim, the most I would want to pay taxes on is $10,000, I would tell them to convert 12 or 13. Purposefully go over. And I agree, your way would work too. Just convert the 10 and don't worry about it if it's too much. I would say go a little over. Purposely fill that.
I'm more averse to doing paperwork than you are.
Yes, I know. Because what you do is as you determine your taxes the following year, and it turns out you should have converted $9,300, you just subtract $9,300 from the $13,000, and you would move $3,700 because that's the difference. That's that as you scrape that knife across the top of that cup, everything that dribbles down is the amount of conversion you didn't want to convert. So that's the analogy here. So the exact amount turns out to be $9,300. So you simply move the difference, $3,700, you move back to the traditional IRA, leaving the Roth with the $9,300. And one of the best ways that Chris and I want people to do a conversion is, again, to use my analogy of baking and a cup, to fill your what cup? Your tax bracket cup.
Oh.
Gotcha on that one.
Well, maybe. Because it depends on how much taxes you can afford to pay.
What we like people to do, and again, we concentrate on retirement planning. So one of the big things we are often doing as people come in, and most people who hire us to do a retirement analysis are between 55 and 65, just the way that most people visit with us are. And when we get people who are close to retirement, and we start to make projections on what their required minimum distributions are going to be, people are shocked. They've done everything right, or at least in their minds, they thought they did everything right. They saved as much as they could. They put it all in tax-deferred vehicles, and they amassed $500,000, $1 million, $2 million between a husband and wife inside what we call qualified, or the industry calls qualified retirement accounts. They're qualified because they qualify for special tax treatment. What's the tax treatment? Well, they grow tax deferred. You don't have to pay taxes until you take the money out. Great. You hit the end of the road at age 70 and a half. And at age 70 and a half, you have to start taking required minimum distributions. And when you start amassing $500,000, excuse me, $500,000 in a traditional IRA, your first distribution is going to be about 3.7% of $500,000, which should be probably what, right around 18 and a half?
About 18,000, yeah.
So your first distribution is going to be about $18,000, $18,500.
Yep.
And that has to be declared as income. And that number gets bigger and bigger and bigger every year. And if you've amassed $1 million or $2 million, your first year's required minimum distribution can get $50,000 or $100,000 in size or more. We've seen it. It happens. Especially as you get older and you get into your mid-70s and late-70s and early 80s, the amount you have to distribute starts approaching 5% of your account value every year. And when people start to see, Chris, the tax implications of those conversions, of those required minimum distributions, coupled with any pension income they may have, any Social Security income they may have, any annuity income that they may have, and in the case of a husband and wife, their pension, Social Security, and annuity, and any type of interest and dividends that they receive, any type of part-time income they receive, they start to realize the thought of being in a lower tax bracket in retirement is pretty much an urban legend. Many people are not in lower brackets. They may be at first, when they first retire, and before required minimum distributions begin, and before Social Security begins. But if they're delaying Social Security to 66 or to 70, and their required minimum distributions begin at 70, initially in retirement, Chris, they can be in a lower bracket. But once those distributions and income streams begin, they're often pushed into a higher bracket. And that comes as a shock to many people. And what we try to do is help people project what brackets they're going to be in retirement, pre-RMD and post-RMD. And we try to get an idea of what tax bracket they're in today and what tax bracket they're going to be in retirement. And then we have to look and determine how much of that retirement tax bracket is truly discretionary, Chris. Well, early in retirement, before you begin claiming your pension or your Social Security, or you may still be deferring your income annuities or your QLACs, and your RMDs don't begin until 70 and a half, there's a lot of what we call income discretion. You can kind of control your brackets, how much money you receive in the 10% bracket, how much you receive in the 15, how much you receive in the 25. You can kind of control that. You can see it. You can manage it. And this is a wonderful time to start evaluating Roth conversions, because once, Chris, these income streams begin and these required minimum distributions begin, you don't really have a lot of discretion with some of your tax brackets. If you're going to get a pension of 50, I just spoke with a gentleman yesterday from the Lone Star State, Texas, and he receives a government pension after taxes of $59,000 a year. So he probably grosses somewhere closer to $70,000 a year. He has no control over that. He has $70,000 coming in. He's going to have required minimum distributions coming in. He doesn't yet. He's not 70 and a half. He's going to have Social Security benefits through his wife. He's married. He doesn't have Social Security, but his wife will. he has a lot of set income coming in, not a lot of what we call income discretion. So it is going to be harder for him when he's at full income, pension, Social Security, required minimum distributions, to really be flexible with those tax brackets. Follow me where I'm going here?
Mm-hmm.
But earlier in retirement, usually right around the point in time you fully retire or partially retire, you go to part-time work now, you're no longer working full-time, you're doing a tiered retirement and you're working part-time, and from that period up to a period of when Social Security, pension, and annuity begin, would you agree, Chris, you have a little more flexibility now to uniquely fill those lower brackets?
You can, and you don't want those to go to waste and later on be forced to be taking these required minimum distributions at a higher tax bracket than you need to. So if you leave unfilled lower brackets, is kind of what I would like to draw the picture of, these unfilled tax brackets in the lower categories, those 10 and 15% in particular, for a lot of people, that's, you're essentially setting yourself up to pay a higher percentage of taxes on those distributions from your retirement accounts than you otherwise would need to pay. And this whole discussion really should highlight that tax planning. And a lot of people, especially when they were working, they didn't do a lot of sophisticated tax planning because, again, they didn't have a lot of income discretion. Right, they had a job, they earned X amount, whatever it was, and
that's not much you can do.
Not much you can do. That's what you've got. You can maybe make some decisions at the margin on a few things, but that's just what it is, and you do your taxes. It's not a really sophisticated situation. Once you go into retirement, that's a whole other story. You've got to be thinking ahead. You can't just be looking at that one year. This is the mistake that a lot of basic tax preparers make. They look at every year kind of standalone and don't see the big bogey coming down. Yeah. They don't see the train coming down the tracks, which is those required minimum distributions. And there's things you can do earlier in retirement that will mitigate the tax penalty, or it's not a penalty, but the tax burden of what you're going to face.
Absolutely.
After you get to 70.
You can control your required minimum distributions if you can lower them. If you get them into a Roth IRA, there are no required minimum distributions. And if you do take money out of a Roth IRA in retirement, it's 100% tax-free. So that's why we try to get people to convert. We want to get money in Roths. It is a wonderful, wonderful strategy. But you need to do it wisely. If in retirement you are going to be in, say, the 28% bracket when required minimum distributions begin, and let's say you're going to defer your Social Security to 70, so you know you're going to be a married couple with more than $152,000 of taxable income, of ordinary income, excuse me, of taxable income, you're going to have more than $152,000, you're going to be in the 28% bracket. But initially in retirement, Chris, you might be in the 15. So you could fill up the rest of the 15% cup and the entire 25% cup between your retirement age. And remember, folks, retirement, I'm not talking about a hard retirement. It could be where you, myself personally, when I turn 60, I'm going to do a tiered retirement from 60 to 70. I'm going to start working less every year, enjoying myself more, bringing home less money, of course, but spending more time doing things I enjoy. During that time period, Chris, that's my planning phase, because my tax bracket is at the lowest it's going to be. As soon as I hit 70, let's just say I project I'm going to be in the 28% tax bracket. Don't you think when I'm 60, I'm going to want to get as much money out of my traditional IRA as I can at the 15-25 bracket? Of course, because I know when I retire, I'm not going to be able to. Because once I retire and my Social Security begins, fully retire at 70, my Social Security begins. I also have an income annuity, a deferred annuity that I bought. That's going to begin at 70. I'm going to have consulting income coming in. I have all this planned. I've done a plan for myself. So I know the brackets that I myself am going to be in. So what we try to get people to understand is, do these projections figure out what your future brackets are going to be? And while you have income discretion, selectively look at converting to take advantage of the lower brackets you may enjoy early in retirement. Because for all of you who have amassed $500,000, $1 million, $2 million or more in an IRA, and there's many of you out there, I've spoken to many of you, you guys are setting yourself up for a future tax tsunami.
Right. And that kind of underscores the point that it isn't how much you've saved up for retirement, it's how much you are going to get to spend in retirement. And that's where the tax bogeyman comes in, or boogeyman.
Right? Bogeyman.
Bogeyman. So when we come back from this short break, we're going to hear the number one song from 1976 as we look back 40 years. This song is about a long road trip, and it mentions quite a few places such as Phoenix, Tacoma, Philadelphia, and L.A. So we'll find out what that is after the short break.
You have listened to Jim on the radio, read his quotes in the media, and enjoyed his banter on iTunes. But even now, you may wonder what sets Jim Saulnier and Associates apart from other financial planning companies. The answer is quite simple. Jim's diverse team of professionals specializes in retirement planning. They form a lifelong relationship with you and measure their success not through product sales, but through the security and prosperity you may achieve in your retirement. Jim's entire team shares his unwavering commitment to placing their clients' best interests first while offering their services at fair prices with full disclosures. The professionals at Jim Saulnier & Associates are available to assist you with your retirement planning needs. Visit jimhelps.com to schedule your complimentary coffee and a second opinion meeting. That's Jim, HELPS.com. Or call 970-530-0556.
Welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. That went longer without singing than I remembered. But that is the new number one song this week back in 1976, taking over the number one spot this week. As we look back 40 years, that is the Steve Miller Band.
Steve Miller Band.
Everybody just forgets about Steve Miller Band. Yes. I just feel like that's just kind of a... They have so many hits, but that's just not... something that's at the top of people's minds. Like
I saw
groups.
Them in concert 2 years ago at Red Rocks in, mm-hmm. here in Colorado. For those on iTunes who don't know, Red Rocks is west of Denver in Morrison. It is an outdoor concert venue carved directly into the rocks, and the rocks are red, hence the name Red Rocks, with some of the best acoustics, I think, anywhere. It's just phenomenal in Red Rocks. I
nice
love it
view
there.
Too.
Nice view. It's yeah. beautiful. On a summer night to be outside at Red Rocks is just gorgeous. Until the rain comes.
True.
I have been rained on many times in Red Rocks, and that just takes the fun away.
Yeah.
Because those gully washes come out of the foothills, because mm-hmm. it's up in the hills, people. Comes out of the foothills, and you are dumped on. Doesn't last forever.
No, then it goes away, but then you're all
then
wet.
You're all soaked. Yeah. Oh, it's terrible. But anyways, that's mm-hmm. Red Rocks. And anyways, I saw Steve Miller. Mm-hmm. He's the Steve Miller Blues Band now, and he does a lot of blues. Hmm. And... it just gets depressing. You listen to him and you want to hear a lot of his good stuff, and he starts singing the blues.
Hmm. That's a little odd.
It is a little odd.
It's okay. He can do whatever he wants now. He's kind of in semi-retirement.
Yeah, because he's Steve Miller. Although he right. played with the Doobie Brothers, and they were phenomenally
oh,
better.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they were just really
Doobie
good.
Brothers good.
They were good, yeah. Really good. And they played a lot of their old songs. They didn't pretend to be anyone else but the Doobie Brothers.
Very nice. So that is the number one song from 40 years ago as we honor some elements of Social Security in our lead up to what's new on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com, the blog that we do. I'll update you on what's new this week on the blog on our in our final segment, which is the next segment after this break that's coming up in about 22 and a half minutes. But are we done with the Roth conversion
thing? I hope people can start putting together what we were getting at. We call this the Roth conversion season because it's the holiday season is now officially upon us. Thanksgiving is over. No, Christmas, Easter.
Halloween.
Halloween is over. It's done with. We are now 3-4 weeks away from Turkey Day and then another 4 weeks to Christmas. So this is the holiday season, but it's also the time to get thinking about converting. Younger people, if you paid attention to the last segment, may not really apply to you. If you're in your 30s and 40s, you might be thinking, goodness, I can't project what my tax bracket is going to be in retirement. That's not the point. The last segment was for people who are in their 60s, who had just retired or had semi-retired, and before required minimum distributions begin, before Social Security fully begins, you have great opportunity to start converting. Younger people, you should just convert. I mean, hands down, that's it. Because I don't know how long Roth IRAs are going to be around. I don't know how long before they eventually close them. And they're not going to force you to take all your money out, but they're going to say no new money going in. So if you're in your 20s and 30s and listening, I'm not trying to get older people worried. Don't worry if you're in your 50s, 60s, and 70s. But what happens if in 20 years from now, there's no more Roths? They just decide the national debt is too great. We need all the taxable income. This is too good. No more money goes into these accounts anymore. Well, if you are only in your 20s today, you'll be in your 40s, and maybe Roths won't be allowed anymore. And all that opportunity to get money in a Roth, Chris, is lost. So I just think a younger person should just, to heck with it, just put money in a Roth and don't worry about it. While you can, get it in. And also, it's going to give you ample opportunity to grow. 100% tax-free if you take qualified withdrawals correctly later in life. So anyone younger, don't worry about everything that I just explained in the previous segment. Just do it. Isn't there a saying out there, just do it? Isn't that Nike?
Nike's.
Yeah. Just do it. Think if we took that as our saying, they'd have an issue with it?
I think so. Although the insurance company that will remain nameless that also uses the Peanuts theme, they're stopping using it. So it's just going to be us from here on out.
Oh, would they order
it? Officially, for those of you who notice or know what it is, we didn't steal it from them on purpose. We just have a connection to IRAs in that the IRAs are similar to a Peanuts character, so it seemed appropriate to use a song from the Peanuts cartoons for our theme song. So that's where it came from. We weren't trying to copy the large mega giant insurance company that uses the same theme.
Did they use the theme? I know they use the dog.
And the theme.
The dog and the
theme.
The
same exact song. We do.
Well, anyway.
We've never heard from them.
We are flying under the radar. Mm-hmm. But we won't start using Just Do It as a tagline for Roth conversions.
We don't want to expose ourselves to every possible place we could be taken to court, if you will.
So again, younger people, don't worry about the last segment. Just do it. Convert as much as you can.
No, contribute.
Contribute. And convert if you have a conversion to do. Young people could have an IRA. Just convert it.
They could.
I run into people in their 30s all the time, and they have an old 401k from an employer they might have worked for, and they've got $4,000 or $5,000 in it. Or what should I do with this? Convert it. Mm-hmm. Just get it into a Roth IRA and let it grow 100% tax free. But what we're trying to get people to understand with our segments is we led into the fact that you have to convert by December 31st. You do not have until April 15th like you do with a contribution. However, stop worrying about how much to convert. Just convert as much as you want. The entire account, in an extreme example, I don't care. And we try to give the analogy of when I measure a cup of flour to make my banana bread.
Takes a big old scoop, overflowing of the cup, and then he takes the butter knife and scrapes it across the
goodness.
Top.
And tickle in my
you
throat
need to
or
stop
something.
Stop drinking that stuff before a show.
All right, I'm going to have to, but I just like my cup of coffee. All right, so what we try to get people to understand is the same thing. Overfill that cup of flour, scrape across the butter knife and get the exact amount you need.
And the other thing that we didn't mention, unless you did, you snuck it past me when I wasn't paying attention, we also recommend when you do a conversion, particularly if you're doing the overfill and scrape across method, put that conversion into a brand new clean Roth account.
That's where I was going to next.
Oh, well, I'm way ahead of you. So by doing that, it makes the scraping across the top of the cup much, much, much easier.
And
because you haven't mingled any of that funds in
right.
with other Roth monies. You've got just the conversion from that year standalone. So it's quite easy to recharacterize or undo a portion or all of it because you don't have to worry about anything else that's in that account because it all came from that original conversion.
Exactly. We'll explain that in a little more detail in a second. So what I wanted people to get is we described the analogy of the cup of sugar or the mm-hmm. cup of flour, and then we try to describe the cups that they themselves are going to be trying to fill. And those cups are your tax brackets, and we call it tax bracket optimization. To try to get a determination, and it's not difficult to do. If you're in your 50s or 60s, it's rather easy for a competent advisor or even a CPA or an enrolled agent to be able to make projections and help you determine how much you're going to owe in taxes or what your brackets would be, rather, in retirement. Especially after you've turned on your pensions, your annuities, your Social Security, and you factored your required minimum distributions. Most retirees after the age of 70, Chris, have very little tax discretion. They have a tremendous amount, varying sources. It's not just one salary like they had when they were working, but they may have pensions, annuities, Social Security, interest, dividends, required minimum distributions. They have all these little bits and pieces of income coming in, and after the age of 70 and a half, it's really at its peak levels. And there's no more planning opportunity there. Because most of your 10% bracket and your 15% bracket are being automatically filled for you. And the only bracket, marginally speaking, that you have left is going to be the higher one, the 25, the 28, the 33. So it doesn't give you much time to plan. So conversions should be strongly done earlier in retirement, when you either stop working, period, and you haven't begun your Social Security yet, and you haven't been subject to required minimum distributions, or in a tiered retirement, which is the more common and accepted retirement today, where you start slowing down and working 30 hours or 20 hours and eventually 10 hours and then eventually no more. During those periods of time, Chris, you have a lot of tax discretion and you have the ability to say, okay, it's pretty clear to me I'm going to be in the 28% bracket in retirement. After we account for my Social Security, my annuity income, my consulting income, my required minimum distributions, I'm going to be in the 28% bracket. So prior to that, I want to convert as much as I can in the 10, 15, and 25 bracket. And those become the brackets or the cups of flour, in our analogy, you're trying to fill. Now, when I do I'm baking my bread and I scoop out that cup of flour, Chris, I simply scrape it right in that bag and that taxes just falls right down in the bag. It's crisp and clear. It is not as crisp and clear as Chris alluded to a few minutes ago in a conversion. When you're figuring out how much of that tax cup you fill, let's say you want to fill up to the 15% bracket, so you've overfilled it, and now you're going to scrape that bracket, and everything that falls from that needs to be moved back to the IRA. If you are mingling that in the same, for instance, let's say in my measuring, I wanted to make sure I only used the flour that I scraped off the top in my next recipe, it would be a nightmare if I'm scraping that flour into the existing bag of flour. If I wanted to use that flour in my next recipe, wouldn't I just scrape it into an empty bag?
Yeah, or a bowl.
Or a bowl. Wouldn't that be easier to guarantee that I can use that in my next recipe if I scraped it into an empty bag or an empty bowl as opposed to a bag or a bowl already filled with flour?
Yeah, because imagine trying to separate individual bits of flour once they're all mixed in there together.
It's a pain in the hiney.
Probably near impossible.
Same thing essentially happens, folks. If you convert... Let's just say you're listening and you're thinking, okay, definitely this makes sense. You do some calculations and you feel you're going to be in the 28% bracket after age 70 and a half because you've been successful. You've amassed a half a million or a million or $2 million in an IRA. And now you're the realization that, oh my God, I'm going to have $80,000, $90,000, $100,000, $150,000 of required distributions coupled with my annuity and my Social Security. Wow, I'm going to be in a high bracket. I've got no more children to be able to deduct on my taxes. I have no more mortgage interest to deduct on my taxes, which are all good things because those are both expensive items to have. And the government gives you a little bit of a break on your taxes. If that's starting to dawn on you now and you want to fill while you can with conversion money as much of the 15 and 25% bracket as you can, you don't want to convert into an existing Roth IRA. Because when you go to scrape that knife across that tax cut and make sure you fill that 15% bracket perfectly, if that extra taxes falls into an existing Roth, because that's where you are, it's very hard to make sure you move that over. The way the calculation works, people, let's say you converted $50,000, but the correct amount should have been just $37,000. You overfilled your tax cut by $13,000. So now you need to undo it. If it's an existing Roth, it's quite possible, Chris, you may have to move more than $13,000. I don't want to get into the math, folks, but it's very possible you end up having to move $14,000 or $15,000 to undo a $13,000 conversion. Or you might only have to move $11,000 or $12,000. It could work both ways. The math to undo the conversion is a lot more complicated when it's mixed. So we always, always say you open a brand new Roth IRA and you convert into that. Because in order to undo a $13,000 in a brand new Roth that never had any money mixed in it, it's easy as pie in the sky. You just move the money. You don't have to do any calculations. Go ahead.
No, you just mixed metaphors again.
What do you mean?
Easy as pie and pie in the sky are two different things. Easy as pie in the sky is mixing two together once again. You're the master of that. You have all these stuck in your head and you just glue them together randomly. Easy as pie is a saying.
I was on a roll.
I know. And all I did was smile and you stopped and made me talk.
So it's not easy as pie in the sky.
Negative. No, never.
It's never
easy
been
as
that.
Pie. Never been that. There's pie in the sky, which means it's a dream you'll probably never accomplish. That's what pie in the sky means.
Okay.
Something you're never going to see, like pie in the sky, right? Easy as pie is a saying it's so simple, it's easy as pie.
So once again, I blended two totally
correct.
Independent.
Easy as pie in the sky, yes. Yes. It's like it's like pulling teeth from a baby or whatever. It's easy as pulling teeth from a baby or whatever.
One of the other things I said. All right.
There's lots of combinations in the Jimism dictionary.
I thought you were smiling because I said pie, and I thought, oh, is this like, no, like Homer no. Simpson with no. donuts?
And I didn't interrupt. I just, I couldn't.
Yeah, but
help.
I said pie, and I thought I you were getting hungry.
No, I wasn't.
So hopefully, people, you can get a good visual of what I'm trying to explain and why we are encouraging our listeners. And the majority of our listeners, I believe, are going to be in their 50s and 60s. And you really should be looking at this, folks. And every year trying to convert, if you are going to be in a higher bracket, with little what we call tax diversity, not necessarily diversity, but discretion, that this income is just going to be there. Your pension, your Social Security, your annuity, it's there. It's already filling your lower tax brackets in retirement. And then once required minimum distributions begin, you got no choice but to take it out. That's also going to fill that bucket in retirement. So you're not going to have a lot of flexibility after age 70 and a half. What is, and that's what you got to pay taxes on.
What is? Is that what you just said?
Oh, don't tell me that ain't a saying either.
What is?
What is?
It is what it is. That's the saying. It is. It is what it is.
It's what I said, isn't it?
No, you said it is or something like that. Now it's, I'm not sure. Oh, wow. They're just rolling out now.
I'm going to stop talking.
Is. What it is.
As Clinton said, it depends on the definition of the word is. It depends what you mean by the word is. Isn't that what he said under oath?
Depends on what is means or something. I don't know. It was something else.
Whatever. Okay, so what we're trying to talk about is to get you to look at these carefully if you're in your 50s and 60s and start seeing if now is a prime time. And the short takeaway is, if you're unsure, just convert. Who cares? Because you can undo it. Just convert into an empty Roth IRA. You will thank me for that bit of advice. Convert to an empty Roth. If you have an existing Roth, don't convert into that one. After you are totally done scraping that knife and you know exactly how much you want to convert and how much you want to undo or recharacterize, and you take care of that, then you take that existing Roth and you combine it with your new Roth that you just did. And you tell the custodian, don't close the new Roth. Roth number two, don't close it. Just take the money that's in it and move it to the other Roth I have with you. Leave that Roth open and empty. Make sure you tell them that. Why?
So you've got a nice, clean, empty bowl for next year's conversion.
Exactly. Now, a lot of companies will close it or give you just a few months to get new money into it. But then you just do it again, Chris. You just convert another big chunk into that nice, empty Roth and do the whole thing all over again. So do you have a little party going on?
No, it's the holidays. They're having a party.
My God. So I don't know if y'all can hear that, but we can.
No, they can't.
They can't hear it? All right. But there's some sort of party going on out there. But that's all we're going to do on Roth conversions, and it pretty much took up the entire show, so we're going to be able to only get to probably these two short emails. But hopefully people can get some good ideas out of this and what we're trying to do. Again, if you're young, don't worry about it. Just convert as much as you
can.
Or convert as much as you can because you want to fully fund a Roth if you are able to. If you're older, yes, you've got to pay a little bit of attention. It's not wise to convert everything. And that's what we want to bring on that listener from Denver. And he did reach out to me recently. He does want to come on the show. His point, Chris, is people may not want to convert a whole lot because he said in retirement, the first dollars you take out of your IRA are going to be taxed at 10, then at 15, then at 25. And as you and I said, we haven't talked to him about this. Yes, that's true.
Well, maybe.
But only, exactly, only after you account for the income streams you have no discretion over. Your pension payments are going to come first. Your annuity payments are going to fill those buckets first, those tax brackets first. Your RMDs after 70 and a half fill that.
It's Social Security.
Social Security. Only money after all of that might be taxed at different levels. And that's an important consideration. And that's why Chris and I say conversions need to be done while you have this discretion over your income. Don't be afraid of paying the taxes now. Get it the hell out of the IRA and put it in a Roth IRA and pay the taxes now. The 50 and 60 year old you is paying the taxes, so the 70 and 80 year old you doesn't have to. And those Roth distributions in retirement will not subject your Social Security, Chris, to what?
Taxes.
Exactly. Social Security since 1983, folks, has been subject to income taxes, but it's a convoluted calculation that pretty much includes all sources of income in retirement will subject Social Security to taxes, except distributions from a Roth IRA and borrowing money from the cash value of life insurance. Well, that one is just this little weird thing that we don't really talk about much. But Roth IRAs, wonderful way. You can take $100,000 out of a Roth IRA and pay no Social Security taxes. You take $100,000 out of an IRA, you're going to get nailed in Social Security.
Yep.
Taxes, tax income taxes.
Taxes on your Social Security
Income
benefit.
Taxes on your Social Security.
So it's always better to receive Social Security benefits without income taxes than with income taxes. So for people that fall into that case where most of their non-discretionary income coming in is Social Security, right now, based on the formula, and this will change down the road, but right now, if all you have is Social Security income, it's not subject to income taxes because it doesn't go above the limit where it creates taxes. But if you throw in distributions from your IRA on top of it, then you do. So that music means we're at our last break here. We'll go into our fourth and last segment. When we come back, we're going to hear the number one song from 1981 or 35 years ago. And it's, this week it's their third number one hit and compares life's romantic challenges to a dangerous occupation of the cloak and dagger kind. That's a really weird hint, but we'll find out what that is after this short break.
Are you interested in your own customized Social Security analysis? If so, visit us at helpwithmysocialsecurity.com and click the Contact Jim and Chris button. Jim and Chris offer a $75 Social Security optimization analysis that includes a one-hour consultation to discuss the specifics of your Social Security situation. This very affordable offer is for both singles and couples and will provide you with the information you need to make an informed decision about claiming your Social Security benefit.
Welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. That is the number one song from 1981, this week in 1981 specifically. That is, of course, is Private Eyes by Daryl Hall and John Oates. Took the place of Chicago's If You Leave Me Now, which was number one last week, but something I wasn't aware of. Both Hall and Oates hated doing videos. But, of course, back at this time, MTV was getting huge, and they kind of had to, but they did a lot of videos. I didn't realize they hated them. That's too bad. I feel bad for them.
I feel bad.
Yeah, I feel bad that we can't hear you because you don't turn on your microphone.
I always forget that part. How come you don't remind me?
Well,
you're the first to pick on me when I say something wrong, but God forbid you help me while we're off camera.
Well, what it is.
Off mic. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back and listen to that one.
What it is. That's what you said. What it is. What is.
And I could have...
Pretty sure that's what you said.
Oh.
It is what it is the phrase. meaning it's just as it is. There's no complexity to it. It is what it is.
I was darn close. Well,
what it is?
What it is. That was close.
Okay, we'll get off this subject now. So why do we hear all these crazy songs as we come back from these breaks?
Because you are about to give us an update on what's new on Help With My Social Security. So as a little lead-in, as a tease, as something fun, just because everyone likes music. I know I do. So as a little tease, we begin with a song from 1935 because that is the year Social Security was first created, 1935. We then give us, look back to a song 40 years ago, generally the number one song 40 years ago. And we look back 40 years because when Social Security was first created, they had a calculation to determine your benefit called 40 elapsed years. That's what they had to look at because remember, people, back then, Social Security didn't exist. They had to create it out of thin air. And then they had to come up with a calculation to determine your benefit. And part of that calculation included a number that they called 40 elapsed years. Hence, we look back 40 years. And then somewhere in the 1950s, they changed that to 35 computation years. That was always written into the original Social Security bill. So that wasn't anything that they did. It's just they switched to 35 computation years. And today, we all know that they take your average index monthly earnings over your highest 35 years of earnings. And that's why we look back 35 years and give the number one song in America 35 years ago. But all of this is a lead-in to our blog, What's New on Help With My Social Security.com.
What's new, Pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, Pussycat? Whoa.
This week on HelpWithMySocialSecurity.com, we discuss the perils or cautions of filing for Social Security when you are still working and contributing to an HSA. We talked about HSAs, health savings accounts, on a recent retirement and IRA show, so I felt it was kind of appropriate to tie things into Social Security as well, and just a little warning that you cannot contribute to an HSA if you have signed up for Medicare. And as you claim, when you claim your Social Security benefit, you are automatically enrolled in at least Medicare Part A, which is the part that for most people is free. They've prepaid it over their working life, so they might not realize they've actually signed up for it. But you can't opt out. And the act of signing up for Medicare Part A makes you
ineligible.
Disallows or makes you ineligible for contributing to an HSA. So if you're over 65 and are continuing to work and have a high deductible health plan at work combined with an HSA, you might be in trouble if you want to continue to make contributions to your HSA if you have filed for Social Security. Or if you just outright sign up for Medicare Part B, might be required if you're still working and have an insurance through your work. That's sometimes a requirement. But one way or another, if you pull the trigger on any form of Medicare coverage, that immediately disallows contributions to an HSA. So we talk about that.
Excellent.
Any questions?
Negative.
Excellent.
What's new, Pussycat?
Okay, so that takes care of our Roth conversion. Let's get to a couple of emails. Let's do a little bit of house cleaning. We have some short emails. As always, we encourage our listeners, both of those in Northern Colorado. Northern Coloradoans, you have a choice, and even Central Coloradoans. Y'all get a choice.
Or Southern Wyomingans.
Mm-hmm. You can call us directly. We are live usually once a month now. We broadcast out of Greeley, Colorado on 1310 KFKA. So you can listen live on a Saturday morning between 8 and 10. Call the radio show directly and get your question answered right away. However, for those iTunians or for those Coloradoans who don't like to call a live radio show or you don't feel like waiting till the next time we're live, you can send us an email. And people have been jumping at that opportunity.
Which is much appreciated.
It gives us something to chat about. Mm-hmm. As long as people are patient with the answer, because sometimes you can get an answer right away. Sometimes you may wait quite a while to get an answer. But we don't charge for our answers, so people shouldn't complain about how long it might take us to answer on the radio. But if you send us an email, we generally do not reply directly with an answer. We may reply with a question, but not all the time. Occasionally we will. And in fact, the first one we're going to get to was answered directly. But occasionally we'll do it that way. But for the most part, you'll get an email from us that might say, hey, so-and-so, we answered your question on the February 12th show. Make sure you listen. You'll get an email telling you what show we answered the question on, and then you can get your answer. But Chris is also looking right now and hopefully wishing. I don't know if any of these
are... I'm looking at the map. I'm hoping we can place a new star upon the map.
I don't believe so. We got
Our call to... Do people have internet and radio? Or I guess it would be internet because radio is not going to reach there. Do they have internet in West Virginia?
I know you're still patiently waiting for West Virginia.
I'm getting impatient.
We're going to lead in with Maryland. I think we have Maryland. I believe. We have Maryland.
Yes, we do.
And then we're going to skedaddle up the coast to Massachusetts.
That's covered.
I figured. So
Rhode Island, however, is right next door, not covered.
Okay. Chris, we have a map. I bought the map, but Chris has really taken a liking to the map. And we're trying to fill it with a star. We're trying to hit every state with an email. We have about a little over half the states filled. So we still need emails, and Chris is just going to give a shout-out. I let him name three states every show. So we got Rhode Island, Massachusetts,
we
and...
We have 30 states now, so we're
okay.
Doing pretty well.
But you need Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and West Virginia.
No, not Massachusetts. We need Rhode Island, West Virginia...
And Maine.
Maine and New Hampshire.
That was four.
And Delaware.
That's five. So...
Well, that'll cover everything east of the
Appalachians. If anybody is in any of those states and you have a question that you would like answered, email me. And if you could, please remember to put in your email the state you are emailing from. I guess that should be a requirement. You want an answer, you got to tell us the state.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. That should just
no state, no answer.
Perfect.
Yeah, no soup for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you're on vacation, it still counts. If you're on vacation in one of these states...
If you've ever been to one of those states.
Well, that might be pushing it a little.
Okay, so let's get to the first question, because this one you reached out to them directly. I want you to answer this question. So it begins, Jim Chris. I've started monthly transfers from my TSP account to Vanguard. TSP stands for Thrift Savings Plan. It's a retirement savings vehicle for federal government employees. Mm-hmm. For those who don't work for the federal government and you're wondering what a TSP is, it's kind of like a 401k. It's not really, but it's kind of. Mm-hmm. So it's called a Thrift Savings Plan. So he said, I've started taking monthly transfers from my TSP account to Vanguard. I'd like to have them put directly into an IRA or Roth IRA account. So he's trying to get the TSP, the Thrift Savings Plan people, to take money monthly from his TSP and deposit it into an IRA or a Roth IRA. Of course, if he did it as a Roth IRA, it would be a conversion, which we've already talked about in the previous three segments. And it would be taxable to him. Mm-hmm. So he goes on to write, I'd like to have them... Oh, I already read that. I'd like to have them put directly into an IRA or Roth IRA account. But they tell me that if they do so, it will be reported to the IRS as a new contribution. So he's being told that if the TSP sends money automatically to an IRA or a Roth IRA, it's not going to be a transfer, that a transfer is not taxable. That's when the money moves from one custodian to another custodian. Now, of course, if it goes into a Roth IRA, it would be a conversion, so it would be taxable. But he's looking to have it recorded as a conversion, not as a contribution. But he's being told if he sets this up automatically for money to come from his TSP and go into an IRA or a Roth IRA, it's going to be recorded as a contribution. This is going to be a problem because the man is retired and he doesn't want to contribute the money. He simply wants to transfer it.
He's not allowed to even because you have to have earned income.
You have to have earned income and a job.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure why he's doing this in little bits. And if he's listening, this is one of my questions for him.
Yeah.
Why are you doing it this way? Chris is going to answer this in a minute on how you could do it, but I was in San Diego in the Ed Slott meeting when this came in, and I saw you reached out and answered him directly. But my underwriting concern was, why the heck are you doing this? Yeah. If you want to transfer it, just transfer it.
Just move it all to the IRA.
Right, and he seems to like Vanguard, so just move the TSP from the TSP to a Vanguard IRA, and it is 100% tax-free. It's a transfer. Now that you have it at Vanguard, you could say to Vanguard, I want to convert a portion of this, and Vanguard would move it from the Vanguard IRA to a Vanguard Roth IRA. Mm-hmm. But there's no need to do it on a monthly basis. I don't quite understand this part. But anyways, this is what he was doing. So he asks, what kind of problems would this cause if I did set it up? A hassle with, would this cause a hassle with the IRS? So why don't you try answering his...
Well, it would be a hassle because what he's done is he's requested regular timed distributions from his TSP. He's asked them to send it over to Vanguard, but he could have just as well had him send it to his bank account because it's exactly the same thing. He's said, don't send me the whole thing because then the whole thing would be distributed. You'd have taxes on, I have no idea how much is in here, but you'd have taxes on the whole amount. That it makes sense that you probably wouldn't want to do that in one year if it's a large amount.
As a distribution, but not a transfer.
Correct. So he selected the monthly amount to be automatically transferred out. What he could opt to do, and this is going to require him filing a new form with the TSP, is tell them don't distribute regularly, but instead transfer regularly to this IRA or possibly the Roth IRA. He might still have to do it in two steps where he transfers it to the traditional IRA and then asks Vanguard to convert it to a Roth at some point in the future. But he definitely, through the paperwork with the TSP, can request instead of distributions monthly, transfers into a traditional IRA monthly. That is allowed. He just hadn't selected that before. And that's why Vanguard is telling him what they're telling him. They're receiving this money as distributions. And if you choose to put it in an IRA, that's going to be us making a contribution on your behalf. He instead needs to request a transfer. Now, that can be done. They don't let you change this willy-nilly. Is that one you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Willie Nelson-nilly? That would be kind of like, I'm trying to combine things together like you do.
Just keep answering the question.
Okay. So he can't just request this, so, you know, 1 month it's going to go one place, the next month it's somewhere else. They don't want to mess with all those kinds of changes, so they allow you to make these changes during an open enrollment period, which happens to be right now, actually, towards the end of the year in the fall. We have open enrollment for things like insurance and retirement plan contributions and that sort of thing. So he needs to file a new set of paperwork changing his distributions to transfers instead. But Jim has a great point. Instead of setting up the monthly transfers, one option is just transfer the whole thing out. Then you don't have to deal with the TSP people anymore. It'll all be in the IRA, and then you can start to convert it to a Roth at your pleasure.
Because the part I'm also worried about is maybe the TSP is willing to send money out of his TSP account as a transfer every month to Vanguard or to any custodian, not just Vanguard. This gentleman just chose them. Mm-hmm. My concern is the receiving custodian gets it right.
True. With this complexity, every month they have to do it right.
Every
Otherwise,
month,
you will create an IRS
right,
nightmare.
Because they need to make sure this is recorded as a transfer and not a contribution. They don't want to mark this as a contribution and say you contributed. And you need to make sure the TSP never messes up and always marks these as a transfer, not as a distribution. So there's too many ways problems can happen.
Too complicated.
He's making something that should be very easy, he's making it very complicated. I would suggest he moves whatever he wants, whether it's the entire account, some of the account, I don't know. We're not in a planning relationship, so I don't know what he's trying to accomplish. Just move it to Vanguard as a transfer, a big amount. Just move it. Now, of course, the TSP only allows one big lump sum partial withdrawal. The next one has to close the entire account or turn on monthly distributions, and that could be the situation he's in.
And maybe he was nervous to do it all as one big lump, and so that's why he defaulted to the monthly.
Or he's already done one big distribution, and the TSP is saying, look, your next distribution is going to close this account, or you have to do monthly periodic distributions. But the TSP is very inflexible, and they do that on purpose. They pride themselves at having very, very low costs to keep that TSP going. You pay next to nothing to be in the federal TSP plan, but that low cost comes at a cost, and it's a very high cost, in my opinion. Lack of flexibility in customer service. They do not allow. You can't call them up and say, send me $10,000. And then a few months later, gee, I need a little bit more. Nope. You already took your one-time distribution. The next distribution closes the account. Mm-hmm. It's that inflexible.
Right.
So it could be that he did a distribution and now, and he doesn't want to close the entire account. So my point again would be, in this case, if you don't want to close the account, you're stuck because there's no more partial distribution. And he may be being forced to do this. And the only reason I would think he'd want to keep the TSP is he wants access to one of the investments in the TSP. But there's really only one investment in the TSP that's unique. The other five are not that unique, and you right. can easily replicate anywhere else. So unless it's that one investment in the TSP that's really unique that he wants, I think he's being unnecessarily complicated here. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the problem. Now, if he hasn't taken his one-time lump sum distribution, figure out how much he wants to leave in the TSP, figure out how much he wants at Vanguard, and just move it mm-hmm. and be done with this. Because I worry the TSP or Vanguard will either report or record these transfers incorrectly. Mm-hmm. It's not going to cause a problem, but it will cause a letter audit. And then he's going to have to deal with a letter audit, pulling together all the proof to show that these were transfers and not contributions. And it's just going to add unnecessary headaches to him in the future if he's letter audited on this by the IRS. Right. So that would be my thought. But anyways, that's mine. How much time we got?
We have about 4.5 minutes.
Okay. Well, this is going to be a real quick one then. This gentleman wrote to us not too long ago, a few days ago, from Massachusetts.
Yeah, we already have a blue star there.
Fine state. So he understands everything I say, including my Jimisms.
I doubt that, because you told me that no one else you know speaks like this.
No, everyone does.
What is?
I'm sure this gentleman says that.
Probably. I've never really noticed till I really looked at it here. Massachusetts is a very oddly shaped state.
It is, but don't burn my time.
Okay, go ahead.
What do we have now in time?
4 minutes.
All right. So it begins, Jim and Chris. Mm-hmm. In retirement, many suggest a 3 to 4% draw from one's nest egg is prudent. Mm-hmm. I am 10 years from retirement, but have the following conceptual question. My wife and I will both get Social Security, and I will also have a pension. So very good. Pension mm-hmm. and Social Security. We love those. Mm-hmm. Our nest egg should be sufficient that withdrawing 3% would make up the rest of our needed income. Mm-hmm. So a very sustainable, well, not very, but a possibly sustainable mm-hmm. withdrawal rate if you took 3% a year out. Mm-hmm. My question is, what is the best way to structure this draw? Should I take it annually, monthly, or some other way? That's his first question. Mm-hmm. This one I can easily answer. Whatever works for you. There really is no right or wrong answer. True, if you took monthly, that leaves your money in the account longer and maybe it will grow. However, you should not have money that you need to withdraw over the next 3 to 5 years in an investment. It should be in a cash-like account because you don't want to have to sell something that's gone down to take a draw. So if you believe in that approach, which is my approach, that money you are going to distribute over the next 2 to 5 years, and we let our clients choose, and most people choose 2 to 3 years. No one has really chosen 5, mostly because cash doesn't pay anything anymore. Even the cash-like investments that we use still pay only 1 or 2%. But any money that you are going to steadily withdraw from your portfolio, 2 to 3 years of those withdrawals should be in an investment in cash-like. It's not even an investment, in a cash-like holding. So if it's in a cash-like holding and cash doesn't really pay much, it doesn't matter to me if it comes out monthly or annually. So right there, it's to me, the answer is it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. The key part, I'm not going to be able to get to his second part of his question. We'll get to it next time. So I'm going to just stay on this first part. The key that I want him to understand when you, and anybody to understand, when you are withdrawing, you have to treat your portfolio differently than when you are in an accumulation phase. When you're in an accumulation phase, a stock market drop doesn't matter because you're buying lower. But when you're in a distribution phase, Chris, and the market is down, you're not buying lower. You're
taking money out that can't then recover.
Yeah, you're selling lower. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to be forced to sell something that's down. So we always recommend the next 2 to 3 years of distributions during the payout phase should be held in cash. So listener, the first part of your question is I would hold it in cash and it doesn't matter if you take it monthly or annually. The second part of your question we're going to get to next time.
Excellent. So that brings us to the end of another episode of the Retirement and IRA Show. Thanks for joining us today. Please reach out if you have an email. Or if you don't have an email, you can call us. If you go to jimhelps.com.
No, don't call. Don't call. Email.
Well, they could call the office.
They're not going to get us.
Well, not right this second.
Okay.
At some point during the week, give us a call if you'd like to. Or you can send us an email.
They can, but I just want people to know. If you call during the work week, you're probably not going to reach us. We've got things we
do. You don't answer the phone?
I don't answer the phone, no.
Oh. Well, Andrew will answer the phone. He'll be nice.
But getting through him to me will be hard.
So we'll be back to you next week. Maybe we'll call. Maybe we won't.
You have listened to Jim on the radio, read his quotes in the media, and enjoyed his banter on iTunes. But even now, you may wonder what sets Jim Saulnier and Associates apart from other financial planning companies. The answer is quite simple. Jim's diverse team of professionals specializes in retirement planning. They form a lifelong relationship with you and measure their success not through product sales, but through the security and prosperity you may achieve in your retirement. Jim's entire team shares his unwavering commitment to placing their clients' best interests first while offering their services at fair prices with full disclosures. The professionals at Jim Saulnier & Associates are available to assist you with your retirement planning needs. Visit jimhelps.com to schedule your complimentary coffee and a second opinion meeting. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. Or call 970-530-0556.
The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.